Ask the Podcast Coach for October 18th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you about this. Look.
Oh, you got a switch.
Yeah.
Nicely done. You go to Lowe's or Home Depot? Those are like Lowe's. $15, right?
Lowe's,
like
yeah.
That. And, yeah. Best podcasting store on the planet, but maybe not. But it is those switches for the lights. I mean, this is one of those little tips and tricks type deal that get a switch for your lights in your studio, and then you don't have to get them if you forget, because I always forget sometimes, yeah. Right? And that switch sits right on my, I have that remote switch just like you do, and it sits right on my mixer.
Now I need one to hit the remote, like if I can make the light switch a remote, because I have my overheads and that, but hey, it's Saturday morning. And welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where we get just amazed by small things like remote control switches while we answer your podcasting questions live. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, this morning you need to go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We had a very scary thing happen this morning. Normally we are on, right now we are on Mixlr, mixlr.com and spreaker.com. And at 5 till 10, Mixlr was not up yet. And they were getting, at one point, they went from a 503 error to, hey, we're getting too much traffic, which is a great problem to have. And at 5 till 10, I went, I'm not waiting for these guys to come up. So, of course, the minute I went and got all the code for Spreaker and I set up a Chatwing chat, which is what we're using today, of course, Mixlr came up. And so we're still using them this morning, but the chat room this morning will be over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live, which is a great way to start the morning just by wetting your pants when technology has failed you. But joining me as always, Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well, Dave. Thanks for having me on again, and happy Saturday morning to you.
Yeah, and so it was fun, but Chatwing is, we've talked about them in the past. This is kind of your main chat of choice, correct?
Yeah, we switched over to Chatwing, I want to say a year ago now, and kind of have used it. A couple of the big benefits of Chatwing, one is as opposed to Mixlr. So most of our listeners are used to coming in on Saturday mornings and listening as well as chatting through Mixlr. And I think Mixlr has a dynamite. I mean, if you're going to use a service and you're going to use a chat room, Their actual UI is dynamite. I mean, I really like it. The one huge drawback is it's another account, right? It's another Mixlr account. So if you're going to get people who don't use Mixlr come in, they're going to have to create a Mixlr account. The beauty of Chatwing is that it allows like every social network on the planet you can log in with.
Yeah.
So Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Yahoo, Google+. Pinterest, there's a bunch of them that you can log in with, and it pulls your picture over from that social ID, which is really, really nice. The one drawback, and I was talking about this in a group, in one of our podcasting groups this week, is that it has not been the most stable. So not that it's down, it's just like sometimes Mike Howard and I have been testing it and people don't show up. You don't have it enabled right now, but there's a setting in Chatwing where you can show all the people who are logged in as well as the chat that's going on. So it looks like a lot like Mixlr in that case. And and you don't have it turned on now, but you could see it. That doesn't always show everybody is what we found out. It's like it's got a case of Facebook. It shows some people, it doesn't show others. And so it's one of those kinds of things that you just kind of have to deal with. The other advantage to Chatwing is it's completely HTML5. So it will absolutely run on anything, just about. Apparently, though, there are some versions of IE that it won't run on at this point because they're not HTML5 compliant. So it's Jason saying in the chat room, he's in Chatwing. He says Chatwing is mobile friendly and as well, and I'm finding that out right now. So, yeah, it's really good on a mobile device. If you want to use Chatwing for that. I mean, the cool thing about this is you could be listening to us through Mixlr, through Spreaker, and then flip over, open up a browser, and be chatting on your phone. So that's pretty cool. We have a caller, Dave.
Do we know – we do have a caller. Do we know if Spreaker is working? Because that's what's on the page right now.
Oh, let's see.
Because in theory, they give you one player that I'm assuming does the audio Like, there was no, like, here, embed this for live, embed this for, and it was like to show.
Yeah, Spreaker Live. I would say if you're.
Well, here, let's find out. I'm on the live page. If I click this.
People can't hear us anyway.
Podcast coaches brought to you by right?
They're probably coming into podcasting.com.
If you're looking to start a podcast, everything you need can be found at schoolofpodcasting.com.
I'm playing the live page.
Ask the podcast coach for October 11th.
No, it doesn't. Okay. So,
yeah.
So there's no live.
Well, yeah, I don't know if there's a live player unless it's that one that's created. Because as soon as you click go live on Spreaker, it creates a new instance for it. So you'd have to go out and grab that embed code and bring it over.
Oh, that's crap. How are you going to do that?
That is crap. Right. I don't know of a way. I'm not saying there isn't a way. I just don't know of a way to, like, with Mixlr, you can set up now an event in advance, right?
Yeah.
And so that works well for that because you can grab that code just like you do with your YouTube page. But on Spreaker, they don't have that kind of functionality that I know of yet to be able to set up something in advance. We can talk about it later. That's why we're moving to Mixlr. But all right. Go ahead and...
Yeah, so ending... There he goes. Ending in 9118, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Dave, this is Fred Castaneda once again.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I have three very quick questions to ask the podcast coach. And number one is, for podcasters that want to get a release electronically from their website or from their podcast site or anything, I know Tim Dewey from the Sled Dog Podcast had one many years ago, but wanted to find out from your experience, which do you recommend as the best electronic tool to get an electronic release signature from your interviewee?
I don't have one, but if I had to use one, it's something Panda. I just talked about it on Weekly Web Tools. Let me see if I can find the name of it. Because it looked really cool because you can actually do it on pandadoc.com. Is that it? If you go to weeklywebtools.com, here, let me copy and put the link in here. weeklywebtools.com/panda, PANDADOC. We'll take you right there, and it's fairly cheap. They make it sound like it's really cheap. It's like, oh, it's only 30 cents a signature. Well, that's if you buy a year in advance. So I'm like, but it was, I want to say it was like a buck to have a document signed. And I've never done one. You know, I've always just done them audibly. 9 times out of 10, I'm interviewing friends. So it's not been a huge concern for me, but obviously, you know, if you start interviewing people that you're unaware of, you know, some, you know, big star or whatever, you may not have that relationship yet. But PandaDoc was one I stumbled across. I forget how I found it, but it seemed really, really cool. And I believe there is a free version. Like, you can get like one free a month or something like that. But it was fairly inexpensive. And it was, you just set up a document and then you basically say, here's where the signature is. And it sends it to them and they basically can, I think, check mark it or something of that nature. But it's probably just, pandadoc.com if you just want to go there directly.
Okay. Thank you. And so the second question I had is, have you heard of and what do you think of the upcoming Audello.com, AUDELLO.com package?
What is Audello?
Audello, AUDELLO. Oh, like an audio, right?
Right.
Audello.com. It's supposed to be a complete platform from the guy who brought you the Easy Video Suite.
Oh, okay. And of course,
have you heard of it?
No, this
have
is
you heard of it or have you?
This is the first I've heard of it. And of course, when you go to their website, there's an auto playing video. Have not heard of it. Easy Video Suite. I'm gonna think if I've used that before. Probably. But I will definitely keep my eye on it.
Yeah, it's a complete platform to create your videos, Easy Video Suite,
right,
that rivals some of the other video platforms. And so this guy's trying to do the same thing with audio podcasts. And I thought maybe you have heard of anything. But it's supposed to launch sometime next week or the week after.
Interesting.
So 9 days, it says 9 days on the site, launching in 9 days.
Okay. And it's supposed to be, it's not cheap. It's, I think, $197 or $297 or something like that.
For what?
Anyway, well, from what I've seen.
For a year or a month?
One-time charge. I think it's a one-time charge. But anyway, the third question I had is, let's say you're a podcaster, and this is a real situation that I've got. You're an upcoming podcaster, and you want to create products and and offerings for other podcasters. And say, and so you say, gosh, well, what kind of bed music or what kind of intro and outro music should I have that would entice podcasters? I know that you have gone into and researched the podcaster audience as podcasters, not as podcast consumers, but as podcast creators. And so do you have any articles you can point to that show you the makeup of the audience? Because once you see the audience statistics, you can probably say, this kind of music may be more palatable for that kind of audience for the majority of them.
That's a great question. The quick answer is no, I don't have any articles. I've always picked most of the music that I pick, it sounds weird, I like. And I assume my audience, I think if I like it, then my audience is going to like it because more or less I'm attracting me. Obviously there are some songs that sound more feminine and I'm not going to have, you know, I'm not going to have classical music on my podcast. That's a great question. I know where there's a ton to find, you know, I can tell you where to get the music, but in terms of what do people like, boy, that's a toughie.
Well, I think mainly if you just go for the statistics of the audience, what's the makeup of the podcaster content creator audience as far as ages and income levels and things like that? You're trying to get the demographics on the podcaster audience. And then that way you can take a look and try and create an avatar for them, right?
Yeah. But even that, let's go 46-year-old male. Some guys are going to love Lady Gaga because their kid turned them on to it. Some people are going to go, man, I am Ted Nugent all the way. And then you got other people that are like, no, man, come on, Cinderella and Bon Jovi from the 80s when we grew up. And then some people might go, I don't listen to music at all. To me, my whole life, I've always found it really interesting what music people listen to, because usually I used to, when I was in my 20s, I could figure out if I was going to like you or not by who you listen to, which looking back was completely stupid on that. I would find your avatar, find a couple, and kind of like I would ask them about my name. I might go, which of these music selections do you like? And get their feedback on it. Because it's, I mean, music is completely subjective. The only thing, you know, that you might have to worry about, like one of my favorite theme songs of all time is Ray Ortega's Podcaster Studio. This big heavy metal. Well, that's the stuff I listened to growing up. Now, I could see if I'm, and I'm going to go completely stereotypical here, right? So let's say I'm a 59-year-old retired or about to retire mother of four. She may not like that at all, but she might be a podcaster who wants to do a podcast about whatever. So So I don't know.
Yeah, especially a local community. Local community podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that's why usually most of the stuff I do, either A, like for this one, I wanted some upbeat, and most of my stuff, if you listen, is fairly funky. I like to get up and dance and kind of have, and it's usually guitar-based because that's, you know, that's how I chose my music. I kept playing stuff until I said, yeah, I could listen to that for 472 episodes and not throw open my mouth a little bit. Jim, any thoughts on music, buddy?
Yeah, you know, music is just dangerous, just for all the reasons you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, not only the licensing implications of it when we talk about that, right? That's a whole nother conversation. But everyone, you said it, Dave, everyone is so opinionated about what it is. I agree with you. And as a, you know, as if I was coaching someone, I would say, you go with music that fits you and your podcast, because then you're going to attract listeners based on that. If you jump all over the place with the music, you will have people who like it one week and who don't like it the next, and who, you know, then there's some music, right, that folks play that I've just stopped listening to. So like Fred, I listened to your podcast this last week. You called in a week or two ago, and so I thought, I'm gonna go listen to Fred's podcast. Fred's podcast is, his music's fairly neutral from that standpoint. And so I just, you know, I don't have an opinion about it,
and
right?
It's quick.
It's get in, get out, right? It's a great way of, I think, a great way of using music in that case. If you want it to be neutral, where you mention raise is going to raise an opinion. Ask the ladies. That's going to, because it's so in your face, it's going to create an opinion. Now, Dave, in your case, your music with, you know, hey, hit it, ladies. That's the one I was meant to say. Yeah. Hit it, ladies. that people look forward to hearing that, right? And since I've been mentioning that, more and more people have been noticing that, I think. And so you, it's one of those things. So I think I would say, if someone listening with your music, be true to you, pick your style and run with it. There's going to be people who love it, people who hate it. They just got to get past it at that point and roll with it.
Right. The last sub question I had was, Todd Cochran usually puts out a lot of stats. Do you know if he ever put out stats about podcasters, the demographics there? Or maybe Rob Walsh.
In terms of listeners, I mean, Edison has a bunch of research on people that listen. I don't know that we have any stats.
Right, listeners. I'm talking
on the actual people that podcast.
Yeah, podcasters, the content creators.
I mean, primarily male. Obviously, if we go back years ago, it was like 80%. Now, that was listeners again. I don't know that we have any stats on actual people that podcast. I just know it's, we know it's primarily male. At least it is on Saturday morning.
You know what? Maybe we can ask Rob Walsh, since he has the podcasters.
Yeah.
And he has, obviously, the list of those creating content on Libsyn. At least we get from Libsyn what the breakdown is from him of some kind of demographics, although they could be rather crude.
Yeah, but music in the end, I've sat around, I remember sixth grade, and we were all arguing over whether Kiss was good or not. You know, and I had one guy that was like,
believe it or not, this is a question that's come up with more than once with people in podcasts, meetups, et cetera, because they all ask the same thing. Hey, this is the mark I'm going after. What kind of music would it be? And of course, the answer is, well, try and get your avatar and then go with that. But again, if it's podcasters, then this would be the appropriate place to follow up maybe with, I think probably Rob Walsh can give us a very high level cursory demographic view of the content creators who submit podcasts to Libsyn and apps as well.
Yeah, that's a tough one because there is no one size fits all. That's the bad news, but awesome. All right, Fred.
No, I understand, but it's a place to start. So I just wanted to say thank you. And by the way, congratulations again on being the director of podcasting for UMedia Expo. And the last thing I wanted to mention was, this Hall of Fame is coming up.
Yeah.
Where everybody is going to get to the top three. And besides Adam Curry and Dave Winer, it's going to be I don't know if it's going to turn into a popularity contest, but we'll see what happens. I'm waiting for the rules to come out, as you know, from the website on NMX. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think it's a great idea. It'll be interesting to see. I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes with that. But to me, I'm like, okay, well, hello, Adam Curry, Dave Winer. If those aren't the first two, I'm done. I'm done, but I'm like, come on. That's like going, well, we're going to make an automobile, Hall of Fame. Shouldn't Henry Ford be like the first guy? I mean, without Henry Ford, we don't have one. So I'll be interested to see what the criteria is and things like that. And then after that, it's like, that'd be fun to get those two together. And just because from what I understand, Dave Winer is he's an interesting chap. So, but I think it's great. I think it's another thing to argue over. I mean, I live in Cleveland, Ohio. Every year, there's nothing but arguing over who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And in the end, who cares? It's an overpriced, Hard Rock Cafe. With worse food.
Right. And the last thing I wanted to ask you is, you said that you weren't through with Adam Curry yet after he declined to actually appear at NMX as speaker, but are you going to follow up with anything maybe?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got a couple of things on my plate I'm working on. So, but I'll keep you guys posted
well,
as we go along.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Fred.
Okay. You take care. In the morning.
Yes. Which, of course, is the No Agenda. Hey, ending in 0240. Thanks for waiting. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Well, I think if that's me, Dave, it's Grant here, and I'm calling you from good old Australia.
Right.
Quarter to 10 to 2 in the morning.
Crikey! Mate. Holy cow. Grant, thank you so
you'll
much,
be right,
buddy.
Mate.
Have you had a few?
Nothing like offending them, Dave, the second they get on the call.
Everybody loves my horrible...
You're not going to come over and boot me.
So, well, Grant...
Classic Simpsons episode.
You know what would be fun is when we get our first drunken dialer. We haven't had that yet. Have you had a few, Grant?
No. Oh, okay. Not yet. But look, I'll save that up for next week, maybe. Hey.
Well, Grant, thank you so much for calling in, buddy. What's your question?
Okay, I'm on music. Just a resource before I make my a question. Melodyloops.com is a great place to find themes and trailers and whatnot. That's $10 a pop.
Got it.
Now, fair use. Fair use. If you're doing I'm producing a music podcast based on Japanese bands that are starting to storm through Australia now, and I see so many programs on YouTube that are criticisms and comments and review shows, basically, and that's what I would like to produce. Audio. Now, knowing that you're not lawyers, you're not Gordon Firemark, what are your views on using music that is obviously copyright and performance rights held by the artists or the publishers, but in a forum a bit like the Fine Brothers React programs on YouTube?
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, if it's not licensed, don't use it. You know, the bad news is you need the guy that wrote the song, the person that performed the song, and the person that owns the rights to the song. And in some cases, that's three different people. You'll have one person write it, one person sing it, and then the record label owns it. And getting those three, I've only got one song that I play. On the School of Podcasting from on occasion, and it's by a band called King's X. And I lucked out because they wrote the song, they performed the song, and they're on their own label. So they own the song. And I said, hey, I love this thing about go tell somebody. Can I play it on my show? It'd be about 10 seconds. It'll be the chorus. And I said, and I will occasionally say the word King's X. And they're like, oh, dude, do it. And the fact that I donated to their drummer's medical bill may have had something to do with that. But nonetheless, I was able to use that. But the bad news is, getting those three people or those three types of people to play it is not always the easiest thing in the world. I approached Matthew West, who's a Christian artist, and approached his label, and they wanted $300 an episode. And I went, you're high. And so that was the end of that. Now, on the other hand, does this stop people from playing unlicensed music? No, not at all. I know a lot of shows that I listen to that you know, they'll do a track by track. If you listen to Michael Butler, he does a show called The Rock and Roll Geek Show. He's the original music podcaster, and he's actually broken bands in the States. You've probably heard of Airborne. They're from Australia. Maybe not. They've actually got some popularity in America because of his podcast. He's got a pretty big reach, and he'll be, you know, he actually does a lot of stuff that is blatantly illegal. He'll ask his audience to not you send me that file because that would be wrong, which we all know he's saying, hey, please send me that record. So it's illegal. Yep. So is jaywalking. Do people do it? Yeah. Does that mean it's okay? No. Does it mean you can go to jail? Yeah. Not yet that I know of, but it means you could. So it's a kind of like when you go to a place to swim at your own risk. So if you're going to play that kind of stuff,
yeah, the licensing issues. I just wondered whether you thought there was any scope whatsoever for criticism reviewing under the fair use guideline.
The fair use, from what I heard, yeah. If you go in and comment on it, and then the fun thing I've heard, I'm not sure fair use is a global thing. Like, I know that's a U.S. thing. I'm not sure what it is, you know, in places like Australia and the UK and Africa and Germany and things like that. So that's where things get weird.
Yeah, it's an interesting issue because it seems to be that the American legislation is the standard, but I'm looking at music that actually isn't being released in Australia, in some cases not being released in America. Mm-hmm. So most of the rights are being held in Japan, and I'm hoping to try and make some more popularity in the English-speaking world for non-English rock and roll pop music. So I've actually written to Sony as it is in Japan, but so far had no reply. But I figured it's probably maybe worth a punt to do the review and criticism and expressly give attribution to the rights holders and point out you're using it under fair use. And if you get a letter, well, then
you pull it down.
You pull it.
See, that's the thing that I don't wish harm on anybody, but I wish kind of somebody would get smacked to see how big the smack is. Like, do you have to pull it down? Do you get sued? Do you owe the money? You know, and to the best of my knowledge, I don't know that anybody's, you know, been asked in terms of music to pull things down. I've seen things with logos and sports and names, but it's never been, hey, because you played this song. Now, I know iTunes gets nervous about that. I've heard people that submitted to iTunes and they heard unlicensed music, and iTunes is like, no, we're not going to, they can't promote that because there's always a weird way that it might go back to iTunes to where, you know, the record label could say, hey, you knew this was illegal and you let them promote it through your store. I have heard of somebody that had that. Jim, you had a thing with iHeartRadio.
Yeah, iHeartRadio denied my application through Spreaker because I had more than 30 seconds of music in my podcast, and that was their excuse for kicking me out. You know, Dave, I think there's two issues here. One is automatic discovery, right? Like YouTube uses automatic discovery for copyrighted information. So they will absolutely, if you play it, they don't care how you play it. You play it, they're going to kick you out, right? That's just, I mean, which means they're going to flag that video and you're not going to be allowed to monetize it, or it might get banned completely. The other issue is then, will the licensing company that owns the rights to that come after you? That is a total unknown, right? You could be doing it for years, and then all of a sudden, someone buys those rights and decides to go after you. They could, and all that stuff's recorded and out there. So it's my advice on music, man, tread lightly on it and be very, very careful, because it's just, it's a mess out there in the licensing world. And my advice would be to avoid it if you can. Now, however, if you're using it critically and you think you're in your fair use policy and you think you've got it covered, that's on you.
Yeah, it's tricky.
And it's good to be a maverick.
There you go.
It's scary to be a maverick.
Yeah. Grant, do you have a website yet? Do you have a podcast going yet? Or
look, I'll tell you what, Dave. I'm highly producing these programs, so nothing is up and ready yet. And I've got interview requests in for all the artists as well. So I'm actually not going to launch until January. So I'll let you know when that's all up, and I'll hopefully be ringing in again to push some other things at you. But I sent you an email once about the Google Hangout guy who had the special one-time groovy price, and I complained that it was going up and whatnot. Well, I eventually did take that package, paid the one-off price, and it's a really good program. But now I get 7 spammy marketing emails every day from this mob. So
I have found that there's
good on one hand.
Yeah, I've bought a couple products on JVZoo, which is an affiliate site, and there's some really cool stuff. Yeah, and that's where it's like I have an email now that I just every day I log in, and I'm nothing but unsubscribing from lists. And they just keep coming, and I'm like, man, that's driving me crazy. Yeah, the one guy especially,
and I hate it. Yeah, Walt.
Yeah, the one guy.
I hate it because he's an Aussie.
Yeah. So awesome. Well, Grant, I do want to ask. Yeah. So, are you calling in via Skype?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
How's the latency, by the way?
Not bad, actually.
Yeah, no worse than if you were calling in from the United States.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Good stuff.
And then the other question I should probably ask you: how did you hear about the show?
I've been listening to you for a long time, and I'm one of those people that's been kicking around podcast ideas for, well, we're getting on to probably 2 years now, and so I've been I've been a School of Podcasting fan and Mike Russell fan and Daniel fan and, you know, the Love Ray stuff. He doesn't put enough out. And I've been listening to, you know, Revolutions and NPR and all that for so long. I don't listen to radio hardly ever now, and I don't really do TV anymore.
That's it. Once you find podcasts, you just don't go back to anything else. So awesome.
Yeah, but I've dropped off a lot of my old favorites lately. I used to be addicted to listening to Cliff. Mm-hmm. Can't do it since the Next Level Studio. So you've taken on the role of guru.
Thank you, my friend.
Guru Dave.
I will try not to let you down. Anything you'd like to hear in the future? While I got your ear, anything you'd like to hear in the future on the School of Podcasting?
I think you've got the formula down right, and your issues are good, rather than going over and over the same old things. And I really like how you just do not interview the same old bloody horses that are wheeled out. I've given so many people away because I'm so sick of hearing the San Diego crew.
Right. You just said one of my favorite words. We were talking about this on a forum. As a dumb American, I will throw out the word bloody, right? Oh, bloody, right? How bad a word is that?
Yeah, bloody, bloody hell.
Right.
Well, in Australia, bloody is like saying shoot in the States. Same with you might have to bastard's not a swear word here.
Ass is not a swear word?
No, bastard.
Oh, okay.
Bastard. And we don't say ass, we say ass.
Ass, right.
I'm going to kick you in the ass.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if I was like dropping the F-bomb and had no idea.
Awesome. Well, and here's something that's really weird about the explicit and all that. How come everyone in America can say freaking, freaking, freaking?
Right.
I mean, it's not as if you don't know what we're saying, but now on TV over here, the F-bomb's nothing. You know, we hear that all the time. Oh, yeah. So, any other Australian cliche you'd like me to trot out for you, mate? Cobber?
No, I think you're good.
Gee, mate, sometimes you can carry on like a drongo, mate.
There you go.
Grant, we did on one of my tech podcasts, I've got a few hosts from Australia, and we spent a whole half show, 30, 35, 40 minutes, talking about the differences in, you know, in English, American English and Australian English, and we laughed the whole time. It was just a blast. So it's great that there are these differences. We appreciate the fact that you guys are good about us laughing with you, hopefully, about them. And it's just great fun. So it's always good to hear. And thanks for for catching up with us.
Yeah, and let us know when you get the.
How do you think I would say I was thirsty?
Say what?
How do you think we say over here that we're thirsty?
That you're thirsty? I have no idea.
Yeah, oh, I'm as dry as a dead dingo's donger.
That was one of the ones we covered there too.
Excellent. All right, great. Well, let us know when you get that podcast up and going, man. We'll definitely check it out. Keep us in the loop. And thanks so much for calling in.
And you just keep playing True Blue and Ridgey Didge.
There you go. Excellent. All right, my man.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. Take care.
My favorite when I got to go to England is we were talking, of course, you're talking about people driving on the wrong side of the road. And the guy said, yeah, this one time I was driving along and I hit a stag and it flew up on my bonnet. And I was like, you did a what? And it turned out a stag was a deer and a bonnet was the hood of his car. And I'm like, yes. And we are both speaking English, but I have no idea what you just said. So that was great fun. That was awesome. And I love the fact that we have somebody from Australia. What do you say? 2 a.m?
It's early. Yeah, it's early for them for sure.
Holy cow. So
okay, I don't normally, I mean, I try not to pimp my podcast too much. Okay. So, but I'm going to throw, the one in chat here. Okay. If you go to, and for me, it was on home, on Gadget Geeks, 175. So if you go to theaverageguy.tv/HGG175, I threw it in the chat. We spend the second half of that show just talking about the differences between English, American English and Australian English. And it's just hilarious. So if you find that interesting at all, again, I don't try to print my stuff too much, but that is a funny bit that we did. And so you can go out and take a peek.
Yeah. So, hey, if you want to get on the phone with us, we would love to have you. That phone number is 845-262-2401. Again, 845-262-2401. I actually put that out in a tweet this morning. I thought that'd be interesting if somebody's not even listening to the show and they just click on the number on their phone. You never know. And what do you guys think so far of the Chatwing experience for those of you in the chat? Is this something we should stay with? Once Dave learns how to turn on the thing to show people are in that, I kind of like the idea of having everybody at our site as opposed to the Mixlr site. And
that really is the main, if we're talking about podcast coaching and saying what's a good thing to do, whether it's right or not is irrelevant, but is it a good thing to do? Yeah, we embed, so I have a live page. So you go to theaverageguy.tv/live. And there, each time I do a show, I embed the YouTube URL it gives me when I create a Hangout on Air. By the way, you can create a Hangout on Air 2 or 3 weeks in advance. I don't know if it's 2 weeks or I think it's up to 2 weeks in advance. You can create one of those. Get the link, put it on the live page. It's all there and ready to go. And then we have a chat wing window right below it. And that way people can be on the page and engaged in chat at the same time. They go one place and they stay on your site, right? That's kind of the goal. And by the way, my Amazon link is up there as well. So it gets them all those things that we're trying to do, which is encourage them to stay on my site, not necessarily on Mixlr's.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Did you finish you were talking about switching from Mixlr to Spreaker and...
Yeah. So this week, in fact, yesterday, I spent most of the day getting everything switched over. Here's a little, this is kind of an inside baseball. We have Mixlr and both Spreaker, both. If you have a firewall, if you're trying to push those out through your organization, you have a firewall, chances are you're going to get blocked. So I had to contact our firewall administrators and say, hey, can you punch a hole through for me so I can get these feeds out there. Those come out through ports that typically get blocked by firewall. So just if you're doing enterprise podcasting, something to remember. But
Both of them?
Both of them get blocked. Yep.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. It's streaming. Stop. Yeah. Okay.
No, right on. And it's the right thing. It's the right thing to do. They'll make exceptions for me. So I put those requests in yesterday. Not a big deal on our side. But and we're moving over to Mixlr because I'm going to use Spreaker. Eventually, I'll have my own RSS feeds through our Gallup.com site. But while they're building those and getting some things, they're all ready to go. I'm just waiting for a designer to design my front page. While we're waiting on that, I jumped onto Spreaker this week and because I thought it'd be a great way for me to actually experience the RSS feeds that Spreaker. And by the way, they have made massive changes in their RSS infrastructure over the last couple months, and it's completely different than it was before. And wow. So you can go in and customize them. We talked about those on a couple shows back, but I flipped over our main feed. All three of our podcasts go through one feed now at this point. And when we go onto our own service, I'm going to break those up into their own individual feeds. So that's coming as well. But for simplicity purposes, I've got them going that way. And then I was going to show you, I'll show you my screen. I'll just kind of show you the stats that Spreaker kicks up there.
Okay. Cause
if you can see that.
Yeah. Cause the cool thing about it, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago that, you can now change, you can redirect your feed through Spreaker. So if you ever want to leave, you can. And
It looks like, can you see that?
No, it's a black screen. We saw it for 2 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, well, it allows me to do the screen for some reason on this PC. Let's just leave it there. You can see You can see the stat window there.
Yeah.
It's a lot like the RSS setup now in Spreaker is a lot like the RSS setup when you get inside the PowerPress plugin. So if you've used the PowerPress plugin before and you know the iTunes tab that's on, the setup is very similar. It's asking the same questions, which would make sense because that tab is all designed to feed to feed iTunes to make sure they get the right information. So if you're going in, if you're using Spreaker, go in. They have a special section just for iTunes to set up. you want to upload that 14x14 graphic that's there. But what I'm showing you now are the stats over the last 30 days. And actually, the stats have gotten a lot better, too. You know, here, as I'm looking at this page, I get total plays, total downloads, likes, followers. And you can do 30 days, 6 months, 12 months, and then individual month by month, which is really cool. I'm showing the 30-day, and if you look at the, you can see when the feed went live, because look at the downloads go from,
right,
you know, maybe 4 to 5 a day, all of a sudden, boom, 171 downloads that day, just, you know, as we put that announcement out. Now, the next day, which was yesterday, the 17th, it went back down to, you know, 20 or so, but folks started jumping on it. But you can kind of see here what the stats look like. You know, I can change those every 6 months, does it by week, and then every last 12 months, does it by month, and you can get some pretty good numbers associated with that on Spreaker.
I was listening to Mike and Isabella on the podcast about podcasting show, the folks from Music Radio Creative. I have yet to see it. She was saying, I think she might have been mistaken, that you can get stats on your users in Spreaker, because they have over 3 million users now. They were talking because that's their number. That's their go-to people. Now, it's their go-to people. They also said, in full disclosure, they have a really good relationship with them because they send them a lot of voiceover work, would be my guess. If you listen over there, you'll hear Mike's voice all over the place. And but they were saying they could get demographic information. I have yet to be able to pull that out.
I'll have to ask them about that.
But
Let me look at the sources tab.
They have changed. They've been really good. Like, they were saying how, I know when I asked them, the one guy, I think his name is Francesco, called me. We got on the phone the one day after I had spoken with Blog Talk Radio. He's like, well, why don't you like me? And I'm like, well, I can't leave. You know, if I ever want to redirect my feed, I can't. And literally, like, 4 days later, it's like, here it is. So, and Mike and Isabella were saying that at one point you could only have one category for iTunes, and they mentioned it to him. And like 4 days later, they're like, here, is this better? And you can now have your multiple categories. So they're really like listening. It. Yeah,
they are making changes. I'm impressed. It's one of those things that's like, wow, these guys are listening. Here's the sources tab. So if you want to see, you know, how this breaks down, where the sources are coming from, you know, Spreaker.com, in this case, Facebook, getting some redirects from Gallup.com, which is great in there, and iPhone, iPad, and others. So you get a good look at it. So the stats have gotten a million times better on Spreaker. It's still, again, I wouldn't recommend you start there and that becomes your primary feed. I know that's what they want. I wouldn't recommend that. Still a lot of iffy things, like, you got to get on iHeartRadio to get the big, massive storage that's there. And, you know, to get on iHeartRadio, you got to have consistent shows and you can't have any music in them and, you know, those kinds of things. So I still recommend, you know, all the things we've talked about in the past, which is you have your own, you know, your own stuff where you point people to and you bring them back to your site. But Spreaker is a very valid front runner for a site, an additional site, because I think you have to be everywhere.
Yeah,
I think you got to be there. You got to be on Mixer. You got to be on Stitcher. You got to be on iHeartRadio. You got to be on Podomatic. Oh yeah, that one.
Yeah, maybe not.
oh, come on.
I did have somebody approach me who, for reasons that we won't get into, does not want to use Libsyn or Blueberry, and they were like, "Do you have, like, what's your third one?" And I was like, "And I brought up MediaFire. I actually might get a MediaFire account." Just is like, okay. And then I said, or Spreaker. I said, now the only thing with Spreaker, there's no unlimited storage. I said, that's the only piece of the puzzle that I'm looking for. I said, and according to their kind of calculations, you have enough for 5 years of material. And in this case, this person had been podcasting for quite some time and that wasn't going to work. And I was like, okay. So, but yeah, I'm really tempted to put my toe in the MediaFire.
You know, it's worth a look. I had a hard week of recommending things where some stuff came back. You know, you recommend stuff and then it comes back and people don't like it and whatever. But that being said, for $25 a year for a terabyte of storage up there and 10 terabytes of bandwidth, it's not unlimited either. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, and they're not, their sweet spot is not podcasters. I'm using it, you know, because it's interesting. I interviewed them on my show and we're storage guys. And so I'm kind of interested in that stuff. I do think, you know, depending on the size, Dave, we had an Amazon discussion last week a little bit about, you know, using Amazon storage and those kinds of ways. And so I did a little research this week and looked into it. And to get, you know, for them that 500 gig of bandwidth that's there that you would get on an Amazon, that's about the same price as what you'd pay at Libsyn these days. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about how big your audience is going to be or how much stuff you're going to do, if you're a small podcaster and you're reaching a small niche, I think Azure or Amazon is worth a look. That might be cheaper for you if you're going to be a micro niche and you're going to stay under, you know, 200, let's say you're going to stay under the average of 200 downloads per episode if you do weekly. Again, there's a lot of factors on this, but that has gotten very reasonable and very cheap. If you're going to be a monster podcaster, then you really want to start looking for the unlimited, the stuff that because you're buying an insurance policy, right?
Right.
When you go to Libsyn and you're paying $20 and there's an unlimited, you're buying an insurance policy is what you're buying.
Yeah. I know last week you'd said you had 600 gigs of bandwidth. We were talking about this, and I went over to the Amazon. They have a calculator, and it basically came out to about $18 for that month if you'd been on Amazon. I was like, all right, that's...
Yeah, and Azure is the same way. Azure, the 500 gig is about $20 a month if you want to do it that way. And guess what? Because of Moore's Law, that is just going to continue to get cheaper, right? It won't get more expensive. It will go cheaper, where a lot of these other plans continue to get more and more, you know, expensive as you go. So that absolutely is a technical, harder solution. We talked about this last week. You got to go in. These are not easy options, right? This is like, you got to kind of know what you're doing and understand, you know, what you're doing and how you're doing it. Azure, I think, is a little bit easier than Amazon. And so I've worked on both platforms, but you got to know kind of what you're getting yourself into when you're doing these kinds of things.
Yeah. Mike in the chat room has said, is that storage or bandwidth? That was bandwidth, right? 600
gigs. That's bandwidth. 500 gig. Yeah. 500 to 600 gig of bandwidth is about, I think, what I use on a monthly basis.
Yeah. So that's where at least in my travels, when I was using it, between the storage and the bandwidth. Now they've lowered their price since I did my test, but at one point my bill went over $40 and I went, that's enough of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mike Howard's saying storage on Amazon is pretty cheap, but bandwidth's not. That's actually changing, right? They're cutting their bandwidth prices all the time. And so that when I did the pricing calculator on Azure for 500 gig of bandwidth, it was about $20. Well, you know, hey, again, how much are you using and how are you using it? And, you know, if your audio files are crunched down, if you're 30 or 40 meg, which for an average hour, that's a pretty good. Anything between 40 and 60 megs per hour is pretty good. Well, I mean, you can download a lot of 60 meg files in 100 gig, right? I mean, so, yeah, it's just not a slam dunk, I guess is what I'm saying. And it's not – the cloud storage is not what it was 2 years ago. I mean, there's this super competitive right now. So,
yeah, it's one of those that it'll be interesting. I also checked – last week we talked about audio. I will tell you their name in 2 seconds. Audio, I think it's audiometric.io. This is the company that's going to pay you to host your files on them, and they will put ads. And I logged into my account because I have a bunch of just dead podcasts I threw up there. And they keep saying ads are coming, ads are coming, ads are coming. And there's no ads yet. So that's the update on that. But that's a free account. It's free. They'll pay you to host their files because they're going to run ads against them. And
if it's too good to be true,
and there's
probably is.
And their stats are caca poo poo. They just shows you, like, you click on the name of your show and it's like, this has been downloaded X amount of time. Like, you have no, like, per episode stats. You just have per show stats. And then how many of them had ads on them. And it said I'd made $1.23, and I'm like, how did I make $1.23? Because, you know, I'm not sending anybody over there. And I asked them, I go, I want to hear one of the ads. And they said, we don't have any yet. So I'm still trying to figure out how I earned $1.23 with no ads. But that's an interesting site I've been keeping my eye on.
You know, Dave, I should backtrack a little bit real quick, just on this bandwidth discussion, because I'm on the pricing calculator right now. So on Azure, 200 gig of bandwidth, about $23 a month. So still not the 500, the 200 gig. And then as you roll up, let me just roll up. They have a great pricing calculator at this point. That 500 gig today is going to cost you a little over $50. Let's just say 60 if you went to the 500 gig. And then, you know, so that's expensive, right? That part is you get more popular, that gets more expensive on those platforms. So you just have to be careful. I'm not saying that's a great way to do it. Go in eyes wide open. They are cutting, they continue to cut the pricing on some of the stuff. If you're a smaller podcaster and you want control over all that stuff, that may not be a bad option, but go in eyes wide open for sure.
Absolutely.
Certainly you could host your website, right? Your website itself, if you want to do self-hosting on your own website, that's not going to use, from a bandwidth perspective, that's not going to use very much bandwidth at all. And actually, Azure has some free options for you if you just want to do the hosting. And then put your content on Libsyn or Blueberry. And why do we always say Libsyn first? Why can't it be Blueberry first, right? Why can't we say I'm Blueberry or Libsyn?
I think because they're the top dog. I don't know.
They are, but everybody says it first. Libsyn, you could be on Libsyn or Blueberry. Like it's, you know, everybody says it the same way.
Right. Huh. That is a good question. I guess because they still are the top dogs, I guess, at this point. The good news is that we talked a little bit about chat. What are you said it's not always stable. What's the quirky things that it does?
Yeah, the weird things it's done.
Oh, you said the thing, the Facebook. It doesn't let everybody in.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't. You don't see everybody. So you don't have it enabled, but there's an option that'll show everybody who's logged in. That doesn't always work. Very well. And sometimes messages, it does some funky things when, like in the middle of the show, it'll just restart itself. And, you know, it'll disconnect and reconnect again. And some of the messages don't show up. Not all the time and not every time, but you know, it's one of those kinds of deals where you really got to watch out for it. And so I just, because I've gotten burned a couple times on recommending things, I want to go eyes wide open on this.
It's not.
It's had some problems. It's a cool idea, and it does some really cool stuff. And I think chat is back from that standpoint. But I do want you to realize it hasn't been perfect.
Yeah.
Now, the back end to it is awesome. They have so many things you can customize on that, colors. And
I saw that.
It's awesome. I mean, there's lots of good stuff you could do. So, I would give it a try if you're not growing.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, like, now do we keep this for the future and send everybody that way? When we say go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live, there's the chat. The only thing I've noticed that's a little different than, because I see we still have a couple people in the Mixler chat, is, let me make sure, and we compare apples to apples here. Yeah, their text is smaller. Like it's actually, the actual font is a smaller space. So I'm assuming hopefully there's a place in there where
Chatwing?
On Chatwing is a little smaller.
You can set the default to be, because it is small.
Because I'm old, and I'm like, what did he say?
Very old. I've got like my trifocals, you know, I'm cranking my head.
You're getting a whiplash. It looks like a headbanger, man.
Oh, yeah. So you can go in and change the font as well as the size as well.
All right. Well, that's good to know. All right. Well, maybe we'll keep this.
It is fun, Dave. I'd like to see it, you know, have like what we do for Gallup is have the video available. Right below that is the chat room. And then I make an audio only option down below in case anybody's having trouble with the video or doesn't want to stream the video. Maybe they have bandwidth caps they don't want to deal with. And so they could choose all three options and the chat's in the middle. So they could click the audio and have that chat available. The other nice thing about Chatwing, you can just click that thing out of the window. If you go up to the upper right hand corner, there's two little boxes. It's a box on a box. If you click that, it pops the chat out off your webpage and allows you to resize that to anything that you want. And so that's a nice feature. Some of our guys do things, you know, they've got all kinds of different devices, and so they want to move that chat around to be able to use it. So it works out well.
And we were talking about Mike and Isabella Russell, who did the UK Podcasters group there when Podcast Movement went on. They've rebranded. It's now going to be New Media. Oh, I had this written down and then I didn't write it down. But they're doing basically a very kind of new media show. It's going to be blogging and video and podcasting. They said, we're always going to remember that our hearts were born out of podcasting, but it's going to be, they don't have it on their website. I went to ukpodcasters.com and they are going to announce they're going to have another, what would you call it, event in September. They're going to be announcing it on October 23rd. And let me see here. I'm scrolling down their page. New Media Europe is what their event's going to be called in the future. And I tell you what, I was listening to them talk about it, and it makes me want to update my passport. My passport's so out of date. And, man, if I had the money and the time, I would love to go over and hang out there. But it was very cool that they're growing. They're quadrupling their tracks. They used to have one track. Now they're going to have four because they are expanding beyond podcasting. They're looking to have sessions with, like, hands-on, like get your hands dirty, let's edit some audio together kind of stuff, which was pretty cool. And so I heard that yesterday. I was listening to that. I think they have just a UK podcasters podcast, and they were doing an update on that. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that they're expanding and growing. And I forget what they said the tagline was. Something like ready to be heard. New Media Europe. That's their tagline, ready to be heard. Because from what it sounds like, it's weird being in the States. It sounds like, I guess I don't picture it, but I guess we're kind of leading the charge of podcasting. And I know, Australia and Canada have always been huge, and obviously the UK, and they're kind of like, yeah, we're ready to kind of have our own stars. And it wasn't so much us against them, but just they wanted to have an event that was going to tailor to folks over in the UK. So it was cool to see that growing. So that was some interesting news coming
up. When's your deadline, Dave?
October 24th which is right around the corner.
Yeah, that's just next week.
Yeah, so I have a sneaking suspicion I'm going to get a ton on the 23rd.
You probably will.
Because I know
they'll come pouring in.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. 1 year, that's about when I got mine in. So
whenever we've done tech conferences, even with professional vendors, right, it's their job to do these kinds of things. We would set a deadline, and they would always blow right through it. I'd have to give them an extra week. And I know you're not giving extra time, so get it in October 24th. Get your submissions in. I'm sure you're going to get twice or three times as many next week.
Yeah. Addy has one question in the chat room. We'll hit this as we head out the door.
Oh, did you highlight me, Dave, and not unclick me?
I did highlight you. You're just so darn. Just yeah. There you go.
Well, at least I'm good looking. I mean, if they can't find you handsome, at least they'll find you helpful.
It's been that way since you shared your screen, now that I think about it.
Nice. Oh, great.
Yeah. So hopefully you didn't, like, pick your nose thinking, Dave's talking, so I can just dig a big one.
Just dig it out.
That's always fun. Addy said, thoughts about having your own app. And actually, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/app, my app is now free. You heard it here first. I was going to talk about that on the School of Podcasting, and I'll be interested to see if I get any kind of, I don't expect a huge boost. I think it depends on your audience. If you have an audience that isn't very technical, they may not understand RSS feeds, but they might understand download this app and then it's just there. So it makes it easy. That's where I think, like, my audience, they're going to be like, why would I want another app? I'll just subscribe and
do it my own way.
Yeah,
I do it my own way, right? They're all tech. They're pretty savvy. I mean, because we're podcasters, we all understand the billions of different ways you can do this kind of stuff. And so you found your own way. I think this is where, Ken was saying earlier, his audience isn't very tech savvy or is very tech savvy. So he was, what was it? Or the other way around. Anyways, I think apps are for those who are not tech savvy. They're easy. One click, boom, they're there.
There it is.
So if you have an audience that's not very tech savvy, I think you need the app for that, right? They're the ones who will download it and use it.
Yep, that's it. So speaking of that, we'll talk for another 2 minutes and 5 seconds.
we got to get through the music.
That's it. So
yeah, awesome.
But thanks to everybody for coming out this morning. Always fun to hang out with you guys. And I think I'm going to keep this set up. I like this. We'll play and see.
Work on that live page a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And you probably don't have time to stick around, do you?
Yeah. No, I'm good.
Okay, because I want to talk a little deep. We're going to dig a little deeper into to Chatwing, and I'll see if I can turn on that feature and go that route. Yeah, and I'll look.
Cool.
I'll work on the live page. And coming up on the School of Podcasting this week, that's right, Dave will be introducing a new character. I'm interviewing somebody very special this week on the School of Podcasting, whose name I will only say his first initial is T, His last name is Roll. And you'll have to tune in on Monday for my interview of Mr. T. Roll. And he's commented on everybody's page. That'll be my only tip. And it's either going to be really entertaining or people go, Dave has lost his mind. So that's what's coming up. Jim, anything coming up on your fun-filled network?
You know, we've done some really fun interviews with some small companies, small tech company CEOs. And I just talked to a guy that out in Istanbul about Uptime Robot. So if you're into that, theaverageguy.tv.
There you go. And you can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 to get $20 off your first month at the School of Podcasting. And tell your friends to come out every Saturday morning, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And thanks again. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of the Ask the Podcast Coach Show.